Good evening, everyone. Please keep your Bibles open. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. We're also going to be looking at Psalm 16 tonight. Please pray with me. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you guide and teach us and direct our paths in so many ways through the power of your Holy Spirit and through the word that you've given to us. Father, we pray tonight as we look at your word that you would guide us, teach us, rebuke us where necessary. And Father, we pray that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've heard a lot about mission already tonight. And for those of you who maybe are visiting tonight, we are going to have a team from Moore College, the Anglican Training and Teaching Bible College in Newtown, joining us. 7 days until mission starts. Are you ready? This time next Sunday, God willing, we'll have 30-odd students from Moore College joining us as we seek to reach out to the community of Hurstville Grove with the gospel. What are you hoping will happen over the course of that week? What are you expecting to happen over the course of that week? What are you doing to prepare for that week? Tonight, I want to talk about three things that I hope will address some of these questions: commitment, contentment, confidence. Have a look with me at Psalm 16. If you've got your Bibles there, flick back to Psalm 16 that Janine read for us just a moment ago. And this psalm was written by King David some 3,000 years ago, most probably with the intention of being publicly sung or prayed as a way of bringing praise to God. You may see the title there, a miktam of God, of David. Scholars believe that that is a musical term of some description. And so we know that most of the psalms were brought together as a kind of prayer book that people used to praise God when they publicly gathered together. First thing to notice from this psalm is David's commitment, or his reliance upon God to look after him. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. David is throwing himself at the mercy of God here. I'm looking to you, God, to take care of me. You're the one I'm committed to. You're the one that I take refuge in. Keep me safe, O God. He goes on to say, in verse 4, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. At the culture of the time was to offer sacrifices to the gods in the hope that they would give them victory during wars. And when a particular group had a victory, then they would go and try to give thanks to the gods because they thought that they had been successful on that account and appeased them. David says, I'm not going to do what everyone else is doing. I'm not going to offer sacrifices to false gods or take up their names on my lips. They can't protect me from my enemies. They can't preserve me like you can, Lord. It is in you that I take refuge. You're the one that I am committed to, Lord. You are the one who I depend upon to take care of me. Well, as we reflect on that commitment of King David, we might think about some of the things that people take refuge in this world. Things that people commit themselves to and rely upon to protect them. What are some of the things that come to mind when you think about things that perhaps people in this world rely upon to give them security, to give them refuge, to protect them. Thank you, Gail. Yeah, money. What else? Status and position?
Family?
Muscles? Physical strength, yeah. Houses?
Police?
Money? It's a big one. If only I had a few more dollars, then I'd be okay. If many of you would recall from a period from 2007 through to 2009, what was called the GFC, or the Global Financial Crisis, began in 2007, reached its peak in 2009. If that has taught us anything, it has taught us the dangers of having money as our security. Because during that period, people lost thousands, millions of dollars. Some, it occurred overnight. Education, I didn't hear anyone mention that one. Education, very important. Being able to read, we take that for granted here in Sydney. And yet many people, even within our community here in Greater Sydney, struggle to read. And write, think, understand, communicate. Education is a huge thing. That is a wonderful thing. But who gives us the ability to think and understand and communicate to begin with? It comes from God. We heard about status and careers, family. Who is it that gifts us to be able to build a career? To be able to develop skills, to reach positions of expertise? It is God. And who is it that places us in one family as opposed to another? Who of us here tonight chose their parents? I know I didn't. I love my parents dearly, by the way. But I didn't choose them. It is God. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. You know, one of the great joys of being a Christian is that we can commit our life to the Lord and know that no matter what happens, God will take care of us. He is our refuge. He is our strength. Regardless of how much physical strength we may have, and our physical strength as we get older will disappear. God is our strength. He is our refuge. God will take care of us. May not always give us what we want, but he promises to take care of us. Second thing that we notice from David in this psalm is contentment. Have a look with me at verse 5. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Words like lot, boundary lines, inheritance, these are words that are often used in the Old Testament, particularly around the time of Moses and Joshua, when the land of Canaan was being looked at, being acquired. God was giving the land to the people. And as the tribes were allocated different areas according to their needs, such words were used to describe the way that God broke up the land for the people. Here in Psalm 16, David is using these same words, but this time it is to describe how God is orchestrating his life and how his life has panned out, how God has marked out and ordered the circumstances of his life in spite of the many dangers and toils and struggles that he has faced. And David has many of those. David has been guilty of adultery. He's been guilty of murder. He has faced death threats. He has been in charge of large armies. And yet through all of that, God has sustained him. And in verse 7 we read, God also counsels David. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. God takes care of David. He instructs him on how to live out his life. What a privilege it is to have the God of the universe guiding your every moment, teaching you, counseling you, guiding you, consoling you, rebuking you, negotiating you through life and all its challenges and struggles. What a privilege and a joy it is to be able to be content in all of those situations and circumstances. And many of them are unpleasant. Many of them are hard to deal with. And yet what a joy it is to be able to be content despite the fact of whether they are enjoyable or not, because the Lord is there guiding us. The Lord is there holding on to us. The Lord is there teaching us. You know, when I was in Rwanda last year, I met some of the most contented people I've ever come across. These people were not necessarily financially secure. Many of them weren't very well educated. Most of them hadn't got past primary school in terms of their level of education. None of them enjoyed the incredible health system that we take for granted here in Sydney. And yet, there was contentment. There was joy in their hearts because their trust was in the Lord. Commitment, contentment. The third thing to note from David in this psalm is the confidence that comes from knowing that the Lord is always before him. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. My heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body will rest secure. You will not abandon me to the grave. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You know what? Even in the face of death, David says he will not fear. Such is the confidence that comes from trusting in the Lord. Verse 11, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. The confidence that David has in the Lord stretches beyond the grave. It stretches into eternity. There is no end to this relationship that David knows he has with the Lord. Commitment, contentment, confidence. Three great things that we see in this king of Israel who trusted in the Lord. But of course, this psalm is not merely speaking about David. The Apostle Peter, when addressing the Jews at Pentecost, urging them to turn and put their trust in Jesus, quotes Psalm 16. And Martin read it out to us earlier. You may like to turn to that now. Everything that David speaks about in Psalm 16, the Apostle Peter proclaims about Jesus in Acts chapter 2. Jesus showed us how to live in perfect relationship with God. Jesus was totally committed to his Father. He was completely content in his relationship with the Father. and he had complete confidence that his father would take care of him. Peter, quoting King David, says there in verse 25, "Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. My heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." In verse 32, Peter goes on to say, God raised this Jesus to life. And we're all witnesses of that fact. Peter referring to the people who were still alive at that time, who had seen Jesus walking on the earth after his death, resurrected, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Because of Christ, Peter and David and all who put their trust in the Lord God are now able to stand before God holy and blameless, forgiven for their sins because what Christ has done on the cross. Filled with the joy of knowing that Jesus is their Lord and Saviour. You know, amidst the stress and the turmoil that comes from living in the brokenness of this world, as Christians, we're able to enjoy peace with God. On account of Jesus, we are able to enjoy forgiveness of our sins and life with God forever. Therefore, as David writes in Psalm 16, as Peter reiterates here in Acts chapter 2, our hearts are glad and our tongues rejoice. We've just sung three songs at the beginning of our service tonight, praising God. Why are we praising God? Our hearts are rejoicing. Our bodies also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave. Such contentment is a beautiful gift from God, a gift that God calls us to share with everyone, everyone with whom we come in contact with. How can we go through life holding on to this wonderful gift and never share it with others? Especially knowing how deeply in need we are of God's grace, how could we not race to take up the opportunities that God gives to us to speak of his glorious grace? People who, just like you and I, we are in desperate need of God's grace, and so is the rest of this world. What a wonderful legacy it is for us to pass on to another person. The grace of God, the message of the gospel, the good news about Jesus. What a wonderful truth that is that we have to share. That Christ died for our sins. That God the Father raised him to life. And now he sits at the right hand of God in heaven. Of the Father in heaven. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Matt was saying, if you've got 10 seconds to share with someone the gospel, what would you say? Christ is risen. Sorry, Christ died. Christ is risen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's 10 seconds. There's the gospel. How can we go through life keeping that to ourselves? We have a truth that is locked away in our hearts that has changed our life forever. The promise that God gives to us goes on into eternity. It brings us hope beyond the grave. Our partnership with Moore College is now less than 7 days away. How does that make you feel? Excited? Can't wait to see what God is going to do in that week? Overwhelmed. As we look up the back there and we see this big white sheet with all this stuff, I think, we've only got a week. How are we going to pull this together? How is this going to happen? How am I ever going to be ready in time? Does it make you tremble with fear as you think, if God starts to work and opportunities start to occur and I get the opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus, what am I going to say? I know there are some people in this congregation who it terrifies the thought of trying to speak to someone. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Or maybe you feel it's just another day, and it is at the end of the day, just another week. Doesn't really mean anything to me. David did not take his position before God for granted. David knew that apart from God, there was nothing good about him. David was a sinner, and he sinned in very public ways. He was guilty of adultery. He was guilty of murder. He was guilty of conspiracy to murder. He involved so many people in that. And yet, he experienced God's forgiveness. And because of that, he stood in awe of God, his heart full of joy, his tongue rejoicing in the Lord. And as mission approaches, can I say, and I say this as much to myself as to all of us, let us not become complacent about our position before God. Let us not take for granted the amazing privilege that God has given to us to be able to stand before him, holy and blameless, forgiven for our sins on account of what Christ has done on the cross. Let us not lose the awe for the awesome God that cares for us every day of our life. Let us not become complacent about what God has done for us. Because if we do, and as this mission week approaches, we may well find ourselves in one of the following situations. As mission approaches, and we think about all these things that need to be done, we may well just go into efficiency mode. Rather than calling on the Holy Spirit for guidance, we may simply rely on our own experience and strength to get stuff done. And evangelism may become like a business to us, where we simply rely on programs so that we can tick boxes. Yeah, we've done that. I said to our 8 a.m.ers this morning, many of them who have volunteered to make morning tea. I said, you guys are experts in making morning tea. You've done it for about 50 years. That challenge is to make that morning tea with love, to know that the contribution you are giving to feed the Moore College team and those that will be eating with them, to know that you are giving them sustenance so that when they go out and proclaim the gospel, people will be able to hear it and respond. whatever contribution you are involved in over the course of the week. Let us not go into efficiency mode where we simply rely on our own strength. Let us not forget that it is God who changes people's hearts. If we become complacent, we may become blasé about the Word of God. And we might go the opposite way. We might not bother to put any preparation into what we do. And we'll just go with the flow, hoping that God will somehow just turn up and do something so that we don't have to. If we are truly expecting the God of the universe to work powerfully during mission, then surely we will want to do whatever we can in the time that we have available to be ready. You would do that for any important guest that you're expecting to receive. And if you were given a week's notice to say, you know what, someone really important is going to be in your house next week, I reckon all of us would find time to get ready for that person somehow. If we allow ourselves to become complacent about the privileged position that we hold before God, then perhaps we might doubt that God will do anything during mission week. We may be tempted falsely to believe that people won't be interested in hearing about Jesus. And certainly there will be some who will reject the message. But God's word never returns to him empty. And if that is the case, then we probably will hesitate to immerse ourselves in the week, praying, serving, inviting, because deep down we really don't think God will do anything. If we allow ourselves to become complacent about the privileged position that we hold before God, then perhaps we won't even think about the week of mission. Perhaps we'll just be too busy doing other things. Brothers and sisters, let us not become complacent. Rather, let us be reminded afresh, as David recorded for us in Psalm 16 and Peter reiterates for us in Acts chapter 2, that God is our strength. If you are feeling overwhelmed, when I look at that list and I think about all the things, all the possibilities, it is easy to be overwhelmed. If you are feeling a little bit fearful about, I don't know what to say. I haven't been a Christian for very long. I've been a Christian for years. I always keep stuffing this up. I get it wrong all the time. God is our strength. God is our refuge. The Holy Spirit will empower us. God will be there in our preparation. You know what? God's desire for his church to grow, not just numerically, but spiritually, is far greater than we will ever have. God is our strength, our refuge. He is the one in whom we delight. You know, at the very end of that passage in Acts chapter 2, we read that those who accepted the message that Peter proclaimed about Jesus, those who accepted his message, were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. These are people who, within their own lifetime, had condemned Jesus to death. And yet 3,000 of them had turned around and said, you know what, I had it wrong. I've got to put my trust in this guy who is not just a guy, who is the Lord, the Saviour. And those of us who are Christians here tonight know that. You know that the Lord is your Saviour. You know he has died for you. You know he has forgiven your sins. What a great message that is that we have to tell the world. What a great message that is we have to tell our friends, our work colleagues, our school colleagues, our uni colleagues, our neighbours. What a great message we have to share as we prepare for mission this week. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that he was raised to life, and that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Please pray with me. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of you. You have made our hearts to be glad and our tongues to rejoice. We thank you for the Moore College team, for their willingness to come and join us, for the opportunity to reach out in partnership with them to our community with the message of the gospel. Protect us, we pray, from complacency. Help us not to be overwhelmed by all that there is to do. Forgive us for those moments when we doubt. Please fill us with compassion for the lost and give us wisdom in our preparations, that what we do would be your will and not our own. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to soften hearts and prepare the way for the gospel to be proclaimed. And we bring these before you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.